from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 2007 when a new restaurant opened in Rochester. The owner and chef had a vision. He'd be willing to spend more to bring in local produce, local meats, as much local everything as possible. And he would list on the menu, even down to the mileage, exactly where the food came from when he could. His customers would get a great meal and an education about the quality of local producers. Then the financial crisis hit, but still this new restaurant, Lento, survived. In the competitive world of fine dining, it was easy to wonder if Lento's approach was too risky or destined to fail, but they have persevered, and so last week brought some remarkable news. The James Beard Awards are considered to be the Oscars of food in this country. Every year, the James Beard Foundation divides the country into sections, and their judges help narrow down a list of semifinalists for Best Chef. No Rochester chef has ever been on that list until now. Art Rogers of Lento is a semifinalist in the 2015 James Beard Awards, nominated for Best Chef in the Northeast. If he wondered whether his approach would pay off, he needs not wonder anymore. Art Rogers of Lento is my guest for the hour. Congratulations, Art. Welcome to Connections.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
If I've known Art well enough over the years, just as a customer of his, I will say that the part that will make Art uncomfortable is having to recognize all of the good things people are saying about you, but you will have to try, okay?
That's okay.
I want to talk about how you found out, but first I want to ask you, right now, it could be right now on your menu, or whenever, from 2007 to now, what's your favorite dish you've ever made?
Favorite dish I've ever made? Oh, man. My favorite dish that I've ever made was a dish, super simple. Other restaurants do it right now. We've done it before. It is a small chicken called a poussin, maybe 1.5 pounds. You take out the backbone and you roast it under a brick. And it sounds like it would squeeze out all the juices and would make a horribly dry chicken, but it is by far the best chicken, if not the best dish. It's from the first time I've tasted it, that is a memory dish that's in there that I will always love. And my father would love it if I put it back on the menu.
How often does it end up there?
Once in a while when chicken falls into place. I only have so many entree spots based on the staff that we have and what we can handle. So when sometimes chicken falls into that slot, it'll be back on. It'll be back on one of these days.
Lento is in Village Gate in Rochester, and again, it opened in 2007. How did you find out, Art, that you'd been selected as a semifinalist in the 2015 James Beard Awards? And I ask because you always wonder how much notice someone gets, whether it's you're nominated for an Oscar, you're nominated for this, you're nominated for a James Beard. Did you have any warning?
No. Complete shock. No idea. I was at work. My wife called me at Lento, and she's like, go to the James Beard website. And then she talked me through it, and so I saw the semifinalists. I saw my name on there, and she's like, I got a congratulations email from Chef Melissa Kelly, who was my mentor where I learned how to cook in Maine. She's won 2 James Beard Awards.
In Maine.
In Maine, mm-hmm. Yep. And my wife thought she had been nominated again. She was looking around, and she's like, I don't
see.
So
your wife was looking
anywhere.
For her. What's her name? Melissa Kelly?
Melissa Kelly's name.
So your wife is looking for Melissa Kelly, not realizing that Melissa Kelly was not calling to talk about herself. She was calling to talk about you.
Right. And then she spotted my name, and then so I still have not heard from James Beard has not contacted me. No email.
But it is real as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
We know
I hope
is.
This whole thing isn't a whole
no, it
forgery
is real.
And setup.
It is real. And for our listeners who maybe not may not be familiar with the James Beard Awards, give me a sense, not just to pump it up because you're now a semifinalist, but the reality of it is these are legit. This is an industry that absolutely looks to these awards with respect, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is it's a big award. I'm so shocked and grateful to be included on this short list of chefs. This is all of New England and New York minus Manhattan. And there's a lot of chefs out there, a lot of great chefs out there. So this is great. I'm really proud.
Yeah, there are 10 sections of the country, the way the Beard Foundation divides it up, and they go through this process of trying to, through apparently through their judges and through the public, which can nominate, to discern the best out there. And if you read some of the commentary about how this works, they're looking for not only a great chef, but someone who has influence in the industry and their colleagues around them. And we're going to get to that in a moment about what Art has been doing. But this list, 20 semifinalists, has never included a Rochester chef until now. And it's the Northeast, so as Art mentioned, New York City has its own. New York City is its own category, which is probably wise. Last year, the best chef in the Northeast was from Boston. Boston probably wins a lot of them. I haven't seen the full list.
Yep.
It makes sense.
And the year before that, it was Melissa Kelly.
In Maine. Your mentor.
Yes. She's the only chef to win two for two different restaurants in the same category.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so look at that connection. And so that really is remarkable. That's a lot of restaurants and chefs out there that you are now among the top tier.
It's mind-boggling.
We're talking to Art Rogers, chef and owner of Lento, who's my guest for the hour, talking about the news. Does it for you, is it validation at all? Give me a sense for what the being on this list means for you.
Yeah, I mean, I always knew what I was doing was good. I always believed in the principles of, you know, local, sustainable, seasonal, and I never strayed from that. And there's a lot of temptation to, you know, because I'm running a business too, and the restaurant business is hard, really hard. You have no margins. But this is how I learned how to cook. I knew it was the right way to cook. I don't think I'm doing anything cutting edge. My food is pretty simple. Nothing crazy. It just changes with all the great stuff that we can get here in Western New York. I think that's helped me as well. We have such a bounty of great local sustainable food, you know, right here, like right in Monroe County and the surrounding counties. And I have a great staff that is able to execute all these dishes, and I have great servers and management that make everyone's visit great. And, you know, I think all those things combined and just sticking with it. If you have a restaurant out there, if you think it's going to work, don't change. Don't try to be everything to everyone. Just stick with your vision and, you know, hopefully it will pay off.
Well, I want to talk about that vision, because when you opened in 2007, it was an interesting time. I mean, it's 8 years ago, but in many ways, especially in the Rochester and Western New York region, a lot has changed since then. You opened and you were putting right on your menu, what farm did the food come from? How far away does it come from? What's the source? And you pushed this notion of local, even though, if I recall at the time when I did a piece on you for television in 2009, I thought you told me your produce was roughly 40% more to be local. Is that about accurate?
Yeah, 40, 50. That probably across the board, meat too.
40 to 50% more.
To get local sustainable things, yes. If you're buying green bell peppers in season from the plethora of farms around here, it's going to be way less, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But to get, you know, John Bolton, who's been on your shows, his greens cost a lot more than California field mix. But they're superior, you know? That's why I get those here, and they come right from Hilton, and he's a member of the community, and it all works like that.
And when I talked to you in 2009, what you told me was, if you travel to San Francisco or New York City, or Boston, or Chicago, that's how it's done. The expectation in fine dining is local is valued, and customers ought to know the source, and that wasn't revolutionary. It was an expectation at the high level that hadn't really come to Rochester in a wide scale, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's true. Still true.
It is still true
about the big cities pushing that. I think it is starting to come more to Rochester. You know, people want to know where their food comes from, and that trend is definitely catching on here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I agree, and this is where I think it's hard for Art to either. Art's not the kind of person who's going to take credit, but part of what the James Beard Foundation is saying in putting Art Rogers and Lento on the list of semifinalists is that you're doing great work, but you're also doing influential work. You were one of the first, if not the first that I had noticed in Rochester, stamping it right on the menu. Ask us where the food came from. Let's talk about it. Let's educate our customers. Let's value this. Now you see more of that locally.
Sure.
I know you don't want to take too much credit for that, but what do you think as a when you are a diner and not a chef about the way the scene is moving?
I mean, I think it's definitely coming along in Rochester. I don't think that I had a lot to do with that. I think that's just a trend. If you look at the National Restaurant Association, they do the top 20 trends every year. The top five are always something to do with local or sustainable. It's been that way since we opened. So I think it just took a little while longer to catch on in Rochester. A lot of people told me to get that off my menu.
Why?
Because it was too much to read. Like, customers don't care. Like, they just want to see, like, the steak. Like, you put all this other stuff on there. By the time they get to the end of it, they forgot what they're even ordering. It's too confusing.
Yeah.
And that was another thing. I'm like, I have to stick with this. I want people to know exactly where, anyone can write local on their menu,
And it can be essentially meaningless.
Sure, But if you have the name of the farm there, like, that makes me accountable. Anyone could go up to John Bolton and be like, hey, I had a salad last night at Lento with your greens. He'd be like, I don't sell greens to Lento. And, I want you to, and the people that buy those greens know their value, know what they're worth. They want to eat them at Lento. And hopefully it gets some business for these small farms too, because their business is hard. So we can generate customers for each other that way. That's also another symbiotic benefit.
Talking to Art Rogers of Lento, you mentioned trends, and you're right. When those trend lists come out, local is often at the top. But here's where I see it, kind of a difference, Art. I think at this point, local doesn't deserve to be considered a trend. I do think that that is a value that has become permanently etched in what we expect or what we want. Now, not everyone wants it the same way. Not everyone cares as much. But I don't see local. If you define trend as something that comes in and then will go back out, I don't see local going back out the same way certain preparation trends or menu items that are hot with certain critics would be. What do you see as a trend that's in right now that might kind of float back out in a different way apart from something like local?
I can only think of one. I don't know
What's
if
that?
I should say it on the air.
Oh.
I'm going to get in trouble. The gluten-free dining.
Okay.
And I know there's people that have, don't get me wrong, don't start calling up and yelling at me, but, I mean, that came from out of nowhere. And I listen to NPR and WXXI all day, and Diane Reams has had doctors on, you've had people mm-hmm, on, mm-hmm. and it sounds, based on what the doctors and experts say, kind of, it's not set in stone, all this gluten-free.
Let me back you up in a way that will hopefully couch this a little. I think Art is, my interpretation is what you're saying is there are people who have legitimate issues with it. But then the trend is, and you can read plenty of articles about this, people who are going gluten-free as a choice of lifestyle as opposed to a dietary need, that it became a trendy thing to do, not
Correct.
Based on any kind of diagnosis.
And I think it will go away.
Okay. I think that there is some truth there, and I don't think what you're saying is offensive, because you're not saying to people who have legitimate gluten
no,
dietary issues that that's not legit.
Try to go out of our way to accommodate those people when
Absolutely.
They come in, and we don't make anything intentionally gluten-free, but a lot of the things they are, and we check off the menu, and 99 out of 100 people get a meal and they're happy, and they come back because they know we can do that for them.
Very interesting. Art Rogers is the chef and owner of Lento in the Village Gate in Rochester, and he is a semifinalist in the James Beard Foundation 2015 Awards, a semifinalist for Best Chef in the Northeast, and that is an achievement in and of itself. When I heard the news about a week ago this came
today,
out?
Today, yeah, right about this time.
Okay. We instantly had listeners saying, are you aware of this? You've got to have Art on the show. Art's not been on the show. And so here you are. But you look around Rochester, Let me open it up and give you a chance to say, if you were a James Beard judge and you couldn't vote for yourself, I know you've got a handful of favorites around town that you say there are people doing outstanding work.
Yeah, we've had really good meals at Good Luck and Cure with Chef Dan Martello, Rocco. We love Rocco. And we recently ate at the Ox and Stone on Alexander Street, which was very good. And I have three young kids, so we also eat at Dogtown, the Dinosaur Barbecue, a lot as well. There's tons of good restaurants here. There's no lack of that.
Are you hearing from any of your competitive chefs about this nomination?
No.
That's not to say that they aren't happy for you. They're all busy, right?
Yeah. I told you before the show, too, I'm not really wired. I'm not on Facebook or Twitter.
You do not own a cell phone.
I don't have a cell phone.
Are you the last known person in Rochester without a cell phone?
Probably. It's probably a bigger story than the James Beard award.
You're married with children and no cell phone.
I'm either at work or at home or here right now. So,
or the Strong Museum of Play?
Sometimes there, yes.
Yeah, that's about it, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Those are about the only places.
Right.
But you go back to 2007 and you opened with this theme in mind. Work me through a little bit of your history first, though. Before you opened Lento, tell me a little bit about your biography in cooking.
So I studied hotel restaurant management at the University of New Hampshire. Saw that kind of as a dead end when I was done.
Was that?
I wasn't interested in being like a hotel manager, mm-hmm. which is what that program basically grooms you to do, or mm-hmm. at least it did in 1999. Mm-hmm. Then I read about Primo and Wine Spectator. I think I was working as like a beer merchandiser, which is the person that like stocks the shelves at Wegmans or whatever. I was interested in the back of the house. I had always gravitated toward restaurants. That's why I studied hotel restaurant management. But there was no focus on cooking or anything like that. It was, business school. So I called her up and she's like, we do need a prep cook this summer. I think it was in like May, and anyone that knows Maine is a very seasonal state. They had only been open like a year and a half. I worked there for 3 years. I can't do it justice on the radio. You'd have to go to their website and just see what a tremendous operation. That restaurant is amazing. And it's only gotten so much better since I left in 2005. She has won all kinds of accolades. That's where I learned how to cook. I mean, 3-acre organic garden. She raised pigs, she raised chickens. All that stuff was right there. We put the menu together every morning based on what was pulled out of the garden, which was different than any other restaurant I've ever worked in. Most of them have the same menu that, you run a couple specials, but it never changes. There was no thought of seasonality. Mm-hmm. You get a caprese salad today in the middle of February.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense now, but until you learn how to cook that way and appreciate food in season, at its peak, there's really no turning back. So I got married, I moved back here, and there was nothing like Primo, and I really didn't want to take a step back. I don't know if it was ever my intention to open a restaurant, but I was like, I have to try and get these concepts here, or I'm going to have to get out of the restaurant business in Rochester and move out of Rochester, and I like it here. And we live in the city. Our kids go to city schools. We love Rochester. We're Rochester people.
And if there's anything I know about the business side of owning a restaurant, it's that banks love when you come with a restaurant idea. Banks are always willing to give you as much money as you need, right?
Right.
It is the surest way to get a no is to tell someone in the financial sector that what you really want to do is open a restaurant. A large percentage fail, a large percentage fail within 2 years. It requires a lot of money on the front end, and especially difficult if you come in with a business plan that says, I'm not only going to open a restaurant, but I'm going to spend 40 to 50% more on most of produce and meat material, et cetera, right. Because I care about doing it locally.
Yeah.
How do you convince someone to say, yep, sign me up for that?
I don't know. I mean, it happened. They didn't get it. I remember that.
They didn't get it? They didn't understand it?
Not really. Mm-mm, no. But luckily, I opened up a few months before the entire economy collapsed. So I think that
had it been later, you probably would never would happen.
No way. There's no way. So I think I got in right under the buzzer, June of 2007.
That was everything was riding high. The Dow was rocking. Everybody thought things were great. And meanwhile, below the surface, the financial sector was bubbling up and about to essentially collapse. So it's June of 2007, you open.
Yep.
The financial collapse hits. What did that do to your business?
It's hard to say, because I never...
You didn't have a five-year track record to compare.
There was nothing I could compare it to. Right. It definitely wasn't good. We also didn't go into it with any sort of advertising budget, so it was all word of mouth. Like, people were coming, they were happy, but word of mouth is effective, but it's really slow. You know, someone will be like, oh, yeah, we'll get in there, eventually, which they do, which is still what we have. But, man, I remember sitting there, sitting on the prep table on Friday nights with, eight people in the restaurant, just being like, this is never going to work. It took a lot physically and mentally to get through that. And anyone out there listening that owns a restaurant knows it's so hard. It's so hard. And that goes back to that temptation of you want to do everything for everybody. Cause someone comes in and they're like, you should do this, you should do that. And then you start listening to that and you're desperate for business. But I stuck with it. We fluctuated on a few things, went out there that worked and didn't work, and we left some stuff on and gotten rid of some other stuff. But ultimately, it's finally starting to come to fruition.
Well, you survived the financial crash. How are things now? Okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think, we're not... Nothing crazy, but we're doing... Keeping our head above water for... I think last year was the first time in 7 years, so...
First time in 7 years that...
We weren't...
in the red.
Right. Yeah, correct.
First time since you opened.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is pretty remarkable commitment, and we'll see if the James Beard nomination changes the equation. You've had some customers already mention it?
Sure, yeah. There's a buzz going around in the restaurant. People have come in. It's good.
Well, I want to play a clip if we could, because I know Art has seen a film that I've mentioned on this show before, which is called Chef. It came out last year. Jon Favreau plays a chef in a high-end restaurant in Los Angeles. Dustin Hoffman plays the owner. And there is a scene that I know Art's familiar with, but I want to see how close to reality this is. The push and pull of whether you kowtow to a public that wants simple, always wants a filet and a chocolate cake, or do you get creative and freelance a little knowing that it's going to be a harder sell? And in this scene, it's the night after a critic has come in and savaged Jon Favreau for being too much of a sellout. And so Jon Favreau wants to take the impetus to say, all right, let's get back to being creative. But Dustin Hoffman comes in and they have a conversation about what the menu should look like. Let's listen to the scene from Chef.
You're a chef. This is what you've been cooking for years, and it works. And either you cook the menu that our customers have come to...
You want me to cook the same food?
The same exact...
The same food that he ripped apart? The same guy who's coming tonight?
The restaurant isn't filled with critics. It's filled with people that have been eating your food for the last 10 years. So now suddenly you're going to be an artist. Well, be an artist on your own time.
Listen to me.
No sweetbreads, no calves braised.
I'm not cooking sweetbreads. Listen to me. The kitchen is my domain. That was our deal.
The deal has now changed. Either you stay or you go. It's up to you. End of discussion.
All right, Art Rogers. Now, in this case, in your real-life scenario, you are both the owner and the chef. Do parts of your brain have the same argument that we just heard?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah?
I'm both those guys rolled into one. That would be me talking to myself. It's a struggle. You got to... You are an artist. You want to do these things, but if no one buys them, you're going to throw them in the dumpster, and that's money.
And then you're eventually going to close.
And that's money that you spent, and You know, like I said before, there's no margins. There's no room for waste. Like, you have to get everything to sell. And we have the luxury there of being able to change our menu. I mean, you could have something as simple as a piece of salmon. You're just like, the salmon's not selling. And it's not the salmon, it's the dish. And we're like, all right, we got to scrap this and give something, you know, and then you flip the sides and then it sells fine. I mean, because we buy whole animals, we get crazy stuff. You know, we use pig's heads and liver and hearts, and that stuff sells, but it doesn't fly out the door.
Well, what's one dish that you love to make that you wish sold better?
Head cheese, because we buy whole pigs, so we get these heads, and there's all this usable meat on the head, and, you know, my whole philosophy is, yeah, just slaughter this animal for us to eat it. Like, why discard the head? You know, use the head, it's food. And if I didn't tell you it was made out of head, you would think it was pulled pork from the shoulder. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you it's head cheese, you know, which is just like essentially a pate. You know, you just pack all the meat that's shredded up in a tureen and turn it out and cut it into slices, and it's delicious.
But when you're honest about what it is, it doesn't move off your menu?
I mean, it sells, but it trickles out of there.
Yeah. Something else? Anything else that come to mind that you'd love to make more of if it would sell?
Oh, tongue. You know, we'd get beef tongues, you know, 'cause Seven Bridges and Finger Lakes Family Farms, we use for beef. They usually have a good amount of those because, you know, they're in the same boat. They have a hard time selling the tongue. And we have to, same thing. It sells, but it doesn't fly out. You know, I've done tongue pastrami and tongue tacos and fun things, you know, to make them more approachable, which definitely helps. But people are squeamish when it comes to,
sure,
you know, awful meat, off cuts, not your typical main muscles.
And when it comes to a dish that, you know, you walk into work and this could sell out every time, it's going to move.
Sure. We just had some for Valentine's Day. I think it was John Dory, which is a type of fish, but we make this orzo mac and cheese with crab meat and tarragon and lemon. And anytime I put that on, it doesn't matter what the fish is, it's out the door.
So the side really has an impact.
Sure.
Yeah.
The side always sells the dish.
Very interesting. You now do a burger, which happens to be one of the best burgers in Rochester. You didn't think you'd do burgers when you opened?
I didn't do burgers when I opened.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like that clip that you played. It was, we had to have a burger. You know, where we are in the Village Gate, we're right near the Auditorium Theater. We have a bunch of casual restaurants, like right there, that all do a really nice job. Nights, but there were plays and events. Folks would not be able to get into the Gatehouse or Salinas because they were so busy. And they'd come into Lento and they'd look at our menu and be like, this is too expensive. It's going to take too long. I don't know what any of this food is. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, we should put something on so we can get some business off all these individuals that are in the Village Gate. And that was the impetus for it. And that's our top selling dish. I'll admit it here on the air. Like, we sell more hamburgers and veggie burgers than anything. 2-to-1.
2-to-1.
So it'd be crazy. If there's the owner in me, I'm not going to take that off the menu.
But at the same time, though, it is, for my money, not only a great burger, but it's creative. The housemaid ketchup is worth the price
of admission. Right. Like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it proper. And we buy grass-fed and whole chucks. We grind them in-house. That way we get the right burger. We know exactly what's going into it. We make a brioche bun. And like you said, we make our own ketchup. Obviously, we make our own french fries.
There's something sweeter in your ketchup. Are you allowed to tell us?
You know what? Everyone asks me what's in the ketchup. It's not a secret. There's so many spices in it. There's, you know, like 10 different dried spices, and there's some fresh ginger, and there's sugar in it.
Ginger as well. Interesting.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, just like, was it Heinz 57? I mean, there's like 57 different things. Ours is slightly less than that, but I don't know if that's right. But
no, it's fantastic.
But yeah, I can't rattle it off the top of my head.
I'm sure
but
you
if
have.
If you email, if anyone out there emails me, I'll send you the recipe for the ketchup.
Look at you. You're
I can do email.
You can do email. He has no cell phone.
Yeah.
He does not own a cell phone. Art Rogers is my guest in studio. He is the head chef and owner at Lento in the Village Gate. It's a restaurant that's been open since 2007. They fought through some hard financial times. Art telling us that really the last year was the first year out of the red, which is fabulous news for Lento. And Art is now a semifinalist in the 2015 James Beard Awards, nominated for Best Chef in the Northeast, a tremendous honor, the first that we know of from Rochester to be nominated for that honor. And some nice comments on Twitter. Leslie says, love this place, love everything it's about. It's about local. It has the freshest oyster bar I've been to anywhere, which is something we haven't even talked about, but our Twitter is this thing that people use. Are you familiar with Twitter?
That's so weird. No,
he's familiar with it.
Yeah,
he might
know,
not be on it. And a quick question from Jake, because I'm way late for a break, and we have another guest going to come in and join us and talk about what it means to be nominated. But Jake writes to the program and says he heard Art mention 40 to 50% more to use local produce and meat. He says, finally, a number for buying local that's helpful to know as a customer. What would be a low, high estimate of a basic meal at Lento's? In terms of, you know, your entrees run from the cost of a burger, probably on the low end, to the high end at what?
Right, the burger. So you got beef on both ends. You got the burger at 14, and we have a strip on for 34. And then everything in the middle for entrees.
Mm-hmm, everything in the middle. So 14 to 34 and really everything in between. And when it comes to oysters, you want to grab some oysters there.
Yeah.
Just a few bucks for some oysters.
And those oysters may have saved Lento, actually.
Interesting.
Like has been our biggest draw. Well, we sell, if anyone doesn't know about it, on Tuesday nights we sell dollar oysters. We have a large variety, all North Atlantic, sometimes West Coast. So high-quality oysters, dollar piece, that was really the catalyst. And every night we always have at least 5, sometimes up to 12 different varieties at our raw bar, you know, shrimp and crab claws. And I say on average we go through like 1,500 oysters a week, sometimes up to 2,000.
Wow.
Yep, they come in 3 times a week, so
and you know,
they're fresh and...
My wife is a big fan of the oysters. What stands out in my memory among many at Lento, you made a roasted red pepper quinoa cake that I've probably 5-6 years ago. Hmm. And tell your staff that that's got to come back too.
Okay.
Can you do that?
I guess. I forgot about that. I'll have to.
Does it ring a bell at all?
Yeah, maybe.
It was fantastic.
All right.
My son loves your day boat scallops that come in.
Oh, good.
There. See,
yeah.
So,
and he's a little guy. He's a good eater.
He is. Good. He's not yet 3, but he knows the word Lento. So Art Rogers is in studio. John online asks us for the list. I'll try to be real quick before we get to break. But if you just joined us, the James Beard Award nominate 20 semifinalists from each region around the country. The Northeast includes essentially everything in the Northeast but New York City, which is its own category. And running down the list real quick, Art Rogers at Lento. And then here are the restaurants. The names probably mean less to our listeners than the restaurants, but Myers and Chang in Boston, Millwright's in Simsbury, Connecticut, Asta in Boston. I don't know that. Jump in if any of these ring a bell.
I ate at one of these restaurants.
Okay, I see.
Persimmon in Rhode Island.
Oh, right Persimmon. There it is. Yep.
It was really, really good.
So
yeah.
a worthy one. Sarma in Somerville, Massachusetts. Julia in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Long Grain in Camden, Maine. Miyake in Portland, Maine. Rebel in Brookline, Massachusetts. Hungry Mother in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Moxie in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The Francine Bistro in Camden, Maine. So there's a list. And then there's Lento, Rochester, New York. And Art's talking about what that means to him. Let's take a 60-second break. More with Art. If you want to join the program, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. I'd love to hear from you regarding what your feelings are about a local food movement. And when you go out to eat, how much does that matter to you? We're going to talk to Suzanne Stack in just a moment. She is in the Finger Lakes, and she was nominated for this same category just a few years ago. The conversation continues in 60 seconds on member-supported public radio. We're talking about the culinary scene and the Oscars of the food world, or the James Beard Awards. Art Rogers of Lento is nominated for Best Chef in the Northeast. You will find out if you become a shortlist finalist of five. You find out what, in about 3 weeks?
March 24th.
March 24th. And if you do make the final five, you go to Chicago in May?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go. Sure.
you're gonna take a couple nights off from work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he'll find out March 24th. Right now, he's a semifinalist on a list of 20. And 4 years ago, Suzanne Stack of Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine on the southeast side of Seneca Lake was on that list. She's on the phone with us now. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Very good. And for our listeners who, again, who are maybe learning about new places to check out, Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine is in, technically in what town down there, Suzanne?
That's in Lodi.
In Lodi, on Seneca Lake, and you've been open there since when?
2003, we opened.
Though we should be clear, you're not open now. You are a seasonal open, right?
That's correct. We're a seasonal restaurant. We're open April through November.
When you found out 4 years ago, and I hope I've got that right, 4 years ago that you were a semifinalist for the same category, we're talking about the Oscars of the food world. Did you have any idea how you were selected, Suzanne?
I have absolutely no idea. It was quite a surprise. As Art had mentioned, he didn't even know anything about it. The same thing held true for me. Received an email from people congratulating us, and we didn't even know anything about it. So it was the same experience.
What did that mean to you as a chef who chose the Finger Lakes and as someone who grows a lot of what you make right out of the back of the house there and people can see it? It's similar to what Art experienced in Maine and wanted to cultivate in Rochester. You've had that ethos for a long time. What did it mean to you to be nominated?
You know, it was such, we were so proud, and it really does go back to James Beard. You know, James Beard had this image, and he truly, really loved good food. And for us, like Art and myself and my husband, we work very, very hard to try to keep that image alive. And I think that we care so much about what we deliver to our customers that it's really important, and it's very important for people from big cities like New York City and Washington and Boston to come up here and visit the Finger Lake region and to be able to experience what we have to offer here, including fine wine, good food, you know, beautiful landscape. And we're really proud to be here.
I should also mention that the other nominee in this category happened in 2012. It's Danio Hutnik, who is the owner at Danio's on Seneca, which is, Danio's is what, just south of you or just north of you, Suzanne? I'm trying to remember.
He's just south of us.
Just south. So you've got a kind of a culinary alley on the southeast side of the Finger Lakes. And maybe when the springtime rolls around, maybe we should spend an hour talking about the culinary alley in the Finger Lakes because there's so much down there. Stonecat, Red Newt, Danio's. Over in Trumansburg, you've got Hazelnut Kitchen, Suzanne down there. So there's a lot happening down there. But Suzanne, for you, after this happened, did anybody come in with reservations and say, hey, heard about you through the James Beard Foundation or through, you know, being nominated?
Oh, absolutely. And as Art had mentioned, you know, it was so nice to receive emails from past customers and people that had dined in our restaurant. So it was really nice. It was nice for people to cheer us on and, you know, hope for the best. And that was always really wonderful. And I really have to say that I truly hope that Art makes top five. Now, that would be such a wonderful achievement. I would love to see that happen for him.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to see. But as Art has said, Art is always so humble. He says, you know, he doesn't expect that to happen. But this is an achievement in and of itself to end up on this list because it means that you're breaking through a lot of competition and a lot of noise. There's so much out there. Rochester Finger Lakes is hardly the biggest part of the Northeast. You've got Boston and you've got really the coast. So to find a way for judges and the dining public to notice you and to push the Beard Foundation, something is happening in a very, very positive way. But Suzanne, I want to ask you what I asked Art, which is we have this push and pull between what the critics would love and what the public expects. What would you love to make more of if only it would sell more?
What would I like to make more of? You know, I don't think that there honestly is. For me, I am so proud to be able to use all of the ingredients that this region has to offer with our own gardens and all of the organic farmers. They all work so hard, and using their hard work and actually just trying to make it pure and simple, you know, Art said it as well, trying to keep everything simple and pure is really important. And I love the ingredients that we have the opportunity to work with. And for me, fortunately, I've been very lucky that I think our customers really enjoy what we do, and we just continue to hold true how we feel about the ingredients that we use. You know, the same thing, you know, you may pay 40 or 50% more, but we care about nurturing them, not just feeding them, and that's important to us, and we'll just continue with that.
Suzanne, your favorite dish that you make at Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine?
Boy, oh boy. Well, in the summertime when all the vegetables are so pure and beautiful, I love to make a classic ratatouille, especially with lamb. I love lamb. It's one of my favorite meats, and when you can put that and showcase that on the plate, and, you know, as Art had said, the sides is very important, what the customer really likes and what, you know, does intrigue the customer to want to order it. And to be able to, that always, that and polenta is definitely a big customer favorite here at the restaurant.
What is the biggest misconception that the dining public has about the restaurant business, Suzanne?
Oh, I think that, you know, we don't know each other's business. Everyone works really hard, and, you know, I know people don't know one another's business, and it's very difficult. If they could understand the hard work that's involved along with the passion that we have, I think it's really wonderful when a customer can walk into a restaurant and really try to understand what the chef is trying to share with them, as opposed to coming in with a preconceived notion as to what they want, but for them to understand what a chef would like to share with that customer. And when they come in with an open mind, I think that they can have a wonderful time and really experience the food the way the food should be experienced.
Suzanne, before I let you go, one more quick question. If on my own short list of restaurants in this country that have a real local ethos, outside of this region, if I'm traveling, I'm going to go anywhere, I'm going to go to Charleston, South Carolina, and go to a place called Husk. That's high on my list. What's on your list of a place that you'd love to go to but you haven't been to?
Well, I agree with you. I think Sean Brock is definitely up there on the list. And as a matter of fact, we are leaving shortly for the Carolinas. And Sean Brock is on our list as well.
Oh.
So, and the only other person I will say that I have been to, but that truly has mattered and made a difference for me as far as being able to create the restaurant that we wanted here in the Finger Lakes, and that was Alice Waters. You know, the way she wanted so badly to have farmers, you know, so close to her restaurant, be able to provide food from these local farmers. And I'm so proud to be able to work with all of these farmers. Most of the farmers go to New York City to sell in the markets, and here we have them right in our backyard. It's just wonderful to be able to work with them.
Alice Waters was Deb Whiting's inspiration. Deb Whiting was the chef at Red Newt Bistro, and she did so much to help the local culinary scene. She died in an accident coming up on 4 years ago now. When I was writing the book about the Finger Lakes scene down there, Dave and Deb Whiting, I was getting together with them for dinner, and you never know if you're going to get together with somebody, a chef. Do you say, well, do I eat in your restaurant or do we go somewhere else? You don't want to offend somebody. And Deb immediately said to me, can we get out of here and go to Suzanne? And we had about a three-hour meal there. And Deb Whiting chose Suzanne because she had so much respect for you, Suzanne, and I know so many other people do as well. So I just wanted to make sure you heard that story. Congratulations again on all your success. You guys open again when?
We open April 30th is our opening date, yes.
End of April. Well, enjoy the last couple of months of your off-season. And,
thank you, Evan.
And we'll see you down there at Suzanne. Thank you.
Sounds great. Thank you.
That's
bye
Suzanne
now.
Stack, the chef and owner of Suzanne Fine Regional Cuisine on the southeast side of Seneca Lake. Art, is that should be on your list now. I don't think you have been to Suzanne, have you?
No. I read about it in your book, and we've driven by it a couple times, but yeah, I have to get down there.
What's high on your list of places outside of this region that you'd go to?
Oh, man, I was just thinking of that when you asked her. God, I want to get back to Primo.
Primo in Maine.
And
right?
There's two other restaurants that you just read there, Long Green and Francine. Those are both near there. I've actually eaten at Francine. Man, that is a big question. There's so many restaurants. I want to eat at that Franklin Barbecue in Austin, Texas. The restaurant called Couchon that opened in New Orleans. Husk looks very interesting. It's funny that she mentioned that. He's gotten a lot of buzz. I don't know. Those are the ones I can think of right now.
It's hard
for a
restaurant owner and chef to travel with kids.
Yeah. My sister lives in Lake Tahoe, and she's getting married in July, so we're going to the Bay Area. So I'll have to do some research and find out what are the places to be out there on that scene, because it's always so enjoyable to eat in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. It's always so good.
Now, Suzanne has a seasonal business. You're open year-round. What's the biggest misconception your diners may have? And I don't say this to put diners down, but just when people think about the restaurant business, if we're not inside of the restaurant business, what are we missing? What are people generally would be surprised to find out? Hmm. The schedule, the hours, the demand?
I don't know. I think, yeah, if you... I feel like people know that, don't they? That
well,
we work
I mean,
all day, every day?
I would hope so.
I think that they do. I mean, I guess it's... No one cares if you have a bad day in the restaurant business, you know? That some nights are just off.
In terms of numbers coming in?
No, just, you know...
Performance?
Steaks are getting sent back, so they're undercooked. You just have an off night. Every restaurant has it. You have a bad night. At the end of the night, you don't feel good about it. And you know most of those people aren't going to be like, they probably had an off night. You know, given that they're going to be like, that was a terrible meal. You know, we're never going back there. And that happens. It probably happens in every business, but I don't think anybody walks out the door caring about that or caring about what may have happened in the kitchen to cause something like that to happen. I think just like anything, you got to sometimes give people a pass, and you know, obviously I have good servers and management that usually can placate people, but I know that you got to give people a few chances, and you don't see what goes on. I mean, I guess there are open kitchens sometimes, but I guess that would be the biggest misconception, which doesn't happen often, mm-hmm. but that's happened. I know I've walked out of restaurants before. And
well, there's a bunch of people commenting on Twitter. Scott saying, loving this conversation with Art Rogers, one of 20 James Beard nominees from the Northeast. Paul says, love Lento every time I've been there. And I'm trying to grab, if I can find it, among my pile of notes here. I had some really nice words from one of the persons who reviewed Lento recently, and that was Amanda Antonor. She writes one visit only reviews for the Democrat and Chronicle. And Amanda, in her restaurant critique, she reviewed Lento last August, mm-hmm. and wrote a great review. And she sent this note because I told her, I said, you ought to come join me on the program. But Amanda is always running around town. But as a restaurant critic, here's what she wrote. Art should be congratulated for this impressive honor. I'm not surprised considering Art's led by example the whole locavore movement for Rochester restaurants. He's built a reputation where farmers and purveyors can confidently provide him with their greatest products, knowing that he will carefully and thoughtfully put it to its best use. The sustainable farm-to-table technique may sound like a passé trend now, but I believe it's at the core of every good chef and restaurant in the world. And I know that the James Beard Foundation really supports that practice as well. Amanda says, I think Art's nomination has opened the door for other chefs in the Rochester area who may have thought our culinary scene would be overlooked for some reason. However, the direction Rochester is heading is a good one. We have a lot of places to be proud of, Lento being just one of them. I agree, Art. You know, I think that the way to put a bow on this conversation is no matter what happens going forward, maybe in May you find out you've won the whole darn thing, which would really be remarkable. But at the very least, it reminds people that Rochester is not some culinary second step. You know what I mean? It is there with the best in this country, and the James Beard Foundation feels that way. So some closing thoughts from you. Nothing's going to change for you, right?
No. You know, if anything, this inspires me to work even harder. And, you know, now that we've gotten this, I feel like it's going to bring more people in, and I really want to be on my A game and make it even better as we move forward.
Lento's in the Village Gate in Rochester. 10 seconds, Art. What's on the menu tonight that excites you the most?
I was just stuffing some local saddles of rabbit with kale and dried fruit and pine nuts. We're going to do that with some wild rice and some Flower City organic shiitake mushrooms. That is exciting for me tonight.
Well, that would be exciting for me, too, if I weren't teaching class tonight. I'd come see you. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Art Rogers of Lento Restaurant in Rochester, making a little bit of culinary history in Rochester. Short break, and we're talking about the extinction of our species next. You know, it's a logical follow. Stay with us.